looking into the tefillas, so I look back, I don't think I've ever read this book about Aleinu. I've given this year for 15 years at least, more than that. And I never spoke about Aleinu, so it's time to talk about Aleinu. So, which makes sense to Bechlal, tefillah, which we need to talk about. The Chayyotim brings, we talked about Aleinu, that the Malachim come to gather together when Christ says Aleinu at the end of davening. And they say to praise the Kodesh Baruch Hu that he has such a nation praising him. So he says it's a tremendous busha if the Aleinu at the end of davening is not said properly. Now, the original source for Aleinu was actually the Gemara's Mashal. Aleinu was it's part of Malchus of the Muslim Rosh Hashanah. And in the Siddur of the Ge'onim, Rambam going, etc. The Rambam, it's not mentioned that Aleinu was said at the end of davening. The first mention that Aleinu was said at the end of davening is the Machzor Vitri mentioned that they said they taken the Aleinu from Tefillas Musaf and they used it to say at the end of davening. And actually, there was a sheet that said the reason why you would say this because after you're leaving the Beis Medrash, leaving the shul, going out into interface with the goyim, it was good to remind yourself of the special relationship Kleisla has with the Kodesh Baruch Hu vis-a-vis the Mizraim, who were tremendously oppressive of the Jews. And therefore there was a minig that they would say it after Shacharis, and when they daven Mincha Marav together, they would say it after Marav. They wouldn't say it after Mincha, because it wasn't at each davening. The point was before you would leave, before you go out there to face the Goyim, you know, you would be Mechazik yourself. Eventually it became the minig to say it at the end of and of Mincha as well. So there's, you know, halacha l'maisa, if a person's behind by Mincha and he hasn't said Aleinu yet and they're starting Marav, he should have Marav and say Aleinu afterwards. And he should only say it once. The same way you don't say Moedim Moedim, you don't say Aleinu. So you say it one time and that's sufficient. Also relevant is by Motzi Shabbos, when they're by Kiddush Lavana, but a person didn't say Aleinu yet, they're saying Kiddush Lavana, you say Kiddush Lavana with the Seber, and then say Aleinu afterwards. It's not ma'akiv that you say it at the end of each tefillah. The main point is to say it at the end, as a person leaves the tefillah, a person says this tefillah of Aleinu. But the primary place of Aleinu is as the introduction to Malchus. So the same way you have at the beginning of Zechariah, Zatah Zoycher, and I told in Glace it'll be at the beginning of Shepharis, you have Aleinu. So now, just in the binyan of the tefillah a little bit, so the Maariv of Machloek is exactly where you put in Malchus. The regular Shemoneh Esrei of every Yom Tov, you have Avos, Gevuros, Kedushas Hashem, and then you have Avoda, Haidah, and Shalom. In the middle, you have Kedushas Hayom. When you add Malchus, so Rosh, by most of Rosh Hashanah, we add in Malchus, Zichronos, and Shofaros. And there's another thing more that you have 10 brachas. The Kedushas Hayom gets its own bracha, and then there's a bracha for Malchus, a bracha for Zichronos, a bracha for Shofaros, which would make sense. Like every Shemoneh Esrei, you're adding in three new brachas. So the three new brachas would be Malchus, Zecharis, and Shofaros, besides the seven that you normally say. So there's a number more like that as well, Tana like that. Then two more. One, Tana says, no, that you only do the nine brachas, which is the way we do it. But you conclude it in Kedushas Hashem. Malchus is an expression of Kedushas Hashem, right? Which you see in the Chazaras Hashatz, in the Piyutim. A lot of Piyutim are said in the context of in the third bracha, and they're all about Malchus. The Baruch Shem Kodesh is a primary element of Malchus, as we'll see. But the way we paskin, Rabbi Kiva says that you're kerel it in Kedushas Hayyam. So, which is the way we do it. So the fourth bracha of the Shemoneh Esrei, you have Avos, Gevuros, Kedushas Hashem. And then the fourth bracha is Kedushas Hayyam with Malchus in it as well. And then you say a separate bracha for Zichronos and for Shepharis, and then you say the last three brachas at the end. So we end up with nine brachas. So it's interesting, the binyan, the way it's set up. So this is Musaf. So the first part of the Kedushas Hayyam includes the Tefillas Musaf, the Korban Musaf. So we start off the regular, again, the other Yom Tov, and we finish bring the Korbanos. and then also we start when we shift to Malchus. So now is when you write the introduction. Whereas in Zechronis and Sharpers, the introduction is immediately at the beginning of the bracha, because that's the whole bracha is about Zechronis. So you introduce Zechronis, and then you bring the psukim of Zechronis. So the more says you have to bring 10 psukim for each one of them. But first there's introduction, and there's the psukim. So over here also there's introduction, and then there's the psukim of Malchus. But the introduction is not the beginning of the bracha, because the beginning of the bracha is about Kedushas Hayom. It's about Karbonis. It's not about Malchus yet. So halfway through the bracha, we stop. We start anew with introduction to the concept of Malchus. So later was the introduction to the concept of Malchus. So if we want to understand what the Malchus of Rosh Hashanah is, Elena was a very good vehicle to understand it, because that's how Chazal wrote it as introduction into the concept of Malchus. So we have two paragraphs in Elena. Just the Pasha of the Gemara is that Rav was the one who composed the bracha of the Tefillah of Elena. There's a Kobo. The Kobo says that actually, you know, the Gemara says in the contents of Rav, but actually it was composed by Yehoshua. In the time when he conquered Jericho, so when Yeshua conquered Jericho, he composed the Tefillah of Elena. So this Tefillah of Elena is one of your earliest tefillahs that we have on record. Right? You have the bracha of Moshe Rabbeinu, the first bracha of benching. He wrote the Nusach of the first bracha of benching. According to the Kobo, this is written by Yeshua. The second paragraph is Al Ken Nakava, where there's a Masara which is not clear exactly who the Masara is from, that was written by Ochan. Right, Ochan was, for those of you who are familiar with your Navi, right, Ochan was the person who took from the Chayrim of Yericho and caused that the Klai, so when they went to the next city, was Ai, they were not successful in the war, which changed the whole attitude of the Canaanim vis-a-vis the Jews. And Yeshua said, what happens? He says, somebody took. Eventually, Ochan was killed for his being over this, or taking from the Cherem of Yericho. It was a Cherem that nothing could be taken from Yericho. And he took four things. Rashi mentions it in Parshas Vayesha. Rashi mentions this point. They took four things. He was from Zorach. And so it mentions the word Shoni over there, the word Yad over there four times, because he took four things. So Al Kain the Kabbas, Rishatavas Ochan. So there's a Masara that Yeshua composed, and Ochan was killed. Before he was killed, he composed his tefillah. So he was an Avrayan, but the mice, you know, Balchuba he was. And but for our purposes, we see really two points over here in the Hakdama to Malchus. Is one is that the verse is the Aleinu part of it. One is Al Ken the Kava. If we take the Aleinu part seriously, Al Ken the Kava, we should really want this. We should really we should be awaiting this reality which is coming next. If we take the Malchus seriously, it should turn into a tzipis liyeshua. Okay. And that's part of Malchus. That the true Malchus is that we want, if we truly mean Makabal, the Malchus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the Rebbe Yonah says that a person has to see himself as a Tzir Neman, as this trusted Shliach to accomplish a person's purpose in the world. Just like he talks about the deal of not being jealous of somebody else. He says, just like a true servant who loves his master is extremely happy when other people join the service of his master as well. He's not jealous, he's happy. Right, so you have the general of the army who his goal is to be a general and do the best for his king, because he gets a lot of comfort out of it. So obviously, when another general shows up and does a better job, he's very upset, because the goal was really himself, not the king. He says, and you have a general, which is he's a true servant to his master. He wants the king to be successful. So if another fellow shows up who helps the king be successful, he's extremely happy for the king. So Ken the Kava, Klal Yisrael has a unique, extraordinary place in the world, but it's only Klal Yisrael recognizes HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The rest of the world doesn't. So if you do your math, right? So they just saw a statistic, they say, based on the latest numbers. So the Jews have reached 15.8 million people in the world. There's 15.8 million Jews in the world. Okay? And there's over 7.5 billion people in the world, so we're not a very large percentage of the world. We're not a percentage even. We're decimal point. We're decimal point to a decimal point. So, again, the Kabbalah of Russia, we would like to see that it's going to be a time when the whole world is recognized in Kodesh Baruch. That's true Malchus. Okay, going back to the first paragraph. The first paragraph really has two parts to it. So the first part of it is the looking at the level of uniqueness that Bereshit put Klal Yisrael into, and therefore a feeling of Hakaras HaToiv and wanting to say thank you to Kadosh Baruch Hu that we are put in this unique relationship with Him. And the second half of the paragraph is recognizing how much Kadosh Baruch Hu is the Echad. Part of our uniqueness is that we recognize the Echad of Kadosh Baruch Hu, the Echad of Kadosh Baruch Hu, the Echad of Kadosh Baruch Hu, Bereshit is the Yachid. That's part of the uniqueness that Klal Yisrael is given. So there's only two points over here. Chose to talk about later, so I have this picture in my mind. There's a program in Eretz Yisrael called Arachim, which is a Kira program in Eretz Yisrael. And when we were, this must have been 30 years, more than 30 years ago, in Carlin, Cleveland, one day this family shows up from Eretz Yisrael. The husband is an engineer. And he's moving to Cleveland to work for NASA. Has a big lab. The Jet Propulsion Laboratory is in Cleveland, so they have a lot of people working for them. So this Israeli was coming to America to work. See, they got an apartment near where all the Kerala people lived. Says, well, they're all Bali Tshuva. His wife was, and kids were Bali Tshuva, and they went to the Arachim seminar and came back totally frum, and he still was fried. It was one of those experiences. So he was like still catching up, you know. So she wanted to live in the yeshiva because the kids were going to be in yeshiva. So that was the closest place to put them, was where the Kerala apartments were, where the apartment complex, the Kerala people, it wasn't owned by the yeshiva. Right? So my wife and her used to learn together, etc. And their son was put in the mechina. So it was this Israeli young man, he's 15 years old, Baal Tshuva, been for 2 or 3 years, Liron. So Liron is introduced to the Talzer mechina. The first day he shows up, and he says, Aleinu, like it's his last moments before he's going on Kiddush Hashem. With a tremendous, mysterious focus and excitement and simcha, like, Aleinu l'shabeach, and he's like, and the whole Bechir is like looking at him like, what's wrong with this guy? Like, where'd they get him, you know? Like, and I was ready, young man, you know, I don't know if it was the first time he did this, but he was still doing this like months later, like nobody, you know, this was his tefillah. So he came from a secular background, and he recognized that, you know, there's an extraordinary relationship we have with the Kodesh Baruch Hu, and he's just excited to say it with simcha, etc. So that's what the Malachim are coming to hear. Liron's Aleinu, right? That the Malachim come to hear that when Klal Yisrael says Aleinu, and they praise the Kodesh Baruch Hu, that he has people down in this world who have such a Karas HaToiv and such praise to the Kodesh Baruch Hu. So he was thinking about Liron. That's my picture of what Aleinu is supposed to look like. How else do you say it? Aleinu l'shabeach l'adonako. L'seit l'lo yutzei b'rishis. We have a chiyuv to praise the Kodesh Baruch Hu, the master of all, to give gedula to yutzei b'rishis. So you start off with, we are now coming to say thank you. We're now coming to praise. And not only that, it's incumbent upon us to do so. We look at our lives and we see how extraordinary our situation is, and we just feel obligated to come and say thank you. Now, most people, the word obligated is probably the right word. They're obligated to say the words of Aleinu, and that's what they do. They say the words of Aleinu. That's all as far as their obligation goes. And the point of the tefillah is that Malchus, that we're in Mekabel and Rosh Hashanah, is we're recognizing that Kadosh Baruch Hu has made, there's two parts to it. The Rosh was Echad, and that's the Malchus. Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad is Malchus. We don't say the word Melech that any over there, but recognizing Kadosh Baruch Hu is the source of everything. There's nothing but a Kadosh Baruch Hu. That's true Malchus. He's the greatest king which exists. He's a different type of king in the sense that there's nothing else. What other king has such mastery over his dominion? He's a man and they're men. He's powerful, so he's able to control them. they recognize him and they're subservient to him. Over here, the dominion is in a whole different type of a league. He's the only real existence. Everything else that comes from him, but of course he's the king. That's the second half of Malchus. But there's no thing as a melech without an am. Rebbe Aaron spoke about yesterday. Right? So you're mekabel Malchus of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. So, Rav Chaim Friedlander in his Sefer says, English please, how you mekabel Malchus? Translate that. You accept Hashem as Malchus. Like English, what does that mean? What do you do? He says, you can't make a Kadosh Baruch Hu the melech. He's the melech already. You can make yourself an Eved, and then he's a Melech. The Malchus represents the idea that there's a relationship between the Kadosh Baruch Hu and a nation. And the Bria, but and a nation, specifically us. So, what's between a Melech and a Moshe? The Gaon says that a Melech is one that was chosen by the nation, the nation wants him. And a Moshe is one who's the dictator, who is forcing himself upon the nation whether they want it or not. So how do we decide whether Kadosh Baruch Hu is Til Hashem HaMelucha or Moshe HaGoyim? Klai Yisrael has Melucha. By the Goyim, it's Moshe. The Russian forces, they weren't Mekabel as Malchus. They didn't accept it. They're not agreeable to it. But whether they like it or not, he's the Moshe. So that's what the Goyim says, that's the title of the Pasuk, whether Til Hashem HaMelucha or Moshe HaGoyim. So, when is the moment? How are you mekabel malchus? So, there's two parts to it. You say you're going to do it willingly, because otherwise it's not malchus. If I look at the king and I see, like, you know, he has this very good surveillance system. You know, he has all these spies, and he has tremendous punishments. I agree to do what the king says, but that's not malchus. That's Moshe. That's Memshalo. I'm saying yes, but it's, you know, because I pragmatically it makes sense to say yes, because what's the other option? It's not healthy for me to say no. So that's that, how do you know that it's a malchus? It's because you're doing it willingly, because you want to do it. You look at the leader and you say, this is a leader that I want to be behind. I respect him tremendously. I recognize his qualities. I recognize what he's doing. I see the benefits I get from him. I see how much he cares about us. And I want him to be my leader. So I feel a happiness when I say that's the one that I'm subservient to. That's the beginning of Aleinu. So all the psukim you're going to say, it means it has to come from a position of simcha. This is what I want to do. Not that I'm being forced into it. So the first step is to recognize. The second step is to not only recognize, but to desire that you should have that relationship. So that's why Aleinu is a very strong list of how unique we feel that this relationship is, and how much we feel a feeling of a curse that we need to be meshabeach to Kadosh Baruch Hu for it. A good contrast to that is, you know, a person, let's say, lives in a country where the leader is somebody that, you know, they recognize he's the leader. They're not in the direct rebellion against him, but they really wish he wasn't the leader. You can shades of the political scene nowadays. Some people don't recognize he's a leader. He's not my president. Right? Some will say he's my president because I'm a law-abiding citizen, but I don't want to be my president. Some will say, wow, you know, this is the best guy in the world. Okay. We stand somewhere in the middle in regards to the political scene. But same, but, you know, where do we stand as a Kadosh Baruch Hu? The Malchus of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. An honest statement. So if it's an honest, true statement of Simcha, that's how we should say the Aleinu. During Tilas Musaf Rosh Hashanah, for sure, and really truthfully, every time you say it, I pointed out that the Aleinu at the end of Musaf, at the end of Davening, at least should be, you know, like that one Aleinu, like, should like sort of gotten hashpah from the davening of the Musaf. But even that one, you know, it's sort of like it seems to take less time by that one than the one during Chazaras HaShatz. That's what I found to be the a reality. There's a famous joke about that there is three things complained to Kadosh Baruch Hu that they're not getting a fair deal. Asher Yatzar says, like, you know, I'm set after the bathroom. Rosh says, you know what? I'll let you be said by the chuppah also, Asher Yatzar. Right? Aleinu, like, you know, every says that one foot out of the door, says, I'll let you be said in the middle of Musaf, Rosh Hashanah also. And the third one is a different story. Right? Not forever, Rosh Hashanah. I'm not going to say it over Rosh Hashanah. Okay. There was an angry individual who was getting back at somebody in a public forum in a very, very biting way. So the first two, like, nobody knew where he was going with it. The third one, he went straight for the jugular and the fellow, and was a vaz and barabim. So I'm not going to say that over. But it's wrong. That's not the order. The order was, it was in tefillas musaf, and it was taken from tefillas musaf and put down the davening. Because it was such an extraordinary tefillah, they said, what's the best way to end our tefillas? Would be aleinu. So I would like at least, you know, and Rosh Hashanah itself, when it's mamash, it's Zman of Malchus, the person is saying aleinu, we should, you know, really be mispronouncing it. Okay. Look, there's a few points over here in the tefillah. So, Kadosh Baruch is really referred to in the tefillah with multiple names. He's Adon HaKol, he's Yetzer Bereishis, he's the Melech Malchei Melochim, he's a Kadosh Baruch Hu. And then we describe what he's done. So let's focus on the Kadosh Baruch Hu for a moment. So Kadosh and Baruch is a common theme in Tfilis of the Yom Neroyim. You know, a lot of times, Chazar Hashatz, Piyutim, Kadosh, Baruch, you know, it's a common theme. The order is always Kadosh and Baruch. Very rarely, I don't remember offhand, but I can just say it's definitely rarely, maybe never, is it Baruch v'Kadosh, right? Anybody have a Baruch v'Kadosh that they remember? Kadosh v'Baruch is the standard order, right? Yerushev Tilois, Kadosh v'Baruch, not Baruch v'Kadosh, right? So why is it Kadosh and Baruch? What's the order? So what does it mean? What does Kadosh and Baruch mean? Kadosh Baruch. So, what does Kadosh mean? Kadosh Baruch is Kadosh. He's holy. So that's, you know, a nice English word which doesn't really convey it. What does holy mean? You know, he's nice, he's like very, very spiritual. Yes, Kadosh Baruch is spiritual. He's not physical. I'm like, what are we trying to say? So, the Goyim others and said the deal is Kadosh is something which is, like Rashi says in Chumash, it's set aside. It's like beyond the normal reach. You say something is holy in the context of human beings, he's different than your average person. He's set off. He's set off from everybody else. The Torah uses the word kadosh even in the sense of something being set aside for a nefarious purpose, for a negative purpose. It's set aside. So kadosh is something which is beyond the normal. The Barashim is kadosh means that the Barashim is lives in a totally different type of existence than we live, and therefore he's different. He's different from us. He's totally set aside in being different. So he's distinct in that sense. So that stresses very much the fact that the Bereshit is transcendent. He's totally different than human beings. The problem is that created in the generations a God that was. People said, you know, you can't approach him. He's so beyond the world of mankind that you can't approach him. And that's how Buddha Zohar started. So the answer is Baruch. Baruch means that there's a tremendous presence. The Nefesh HaChaim says that the idea of Baruch is the when you ever talk about Baruch, means that the more the presence increases, it's called Baruch. So Baruch's presence is there in front of us. He's imminent. He's not this way out there beyond the world's God that you have no relationship with. He's extremely accessible. So, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. Hashem Echad, the Nefesh HaChaim says, Echad means that there's nothing else in the world but Kadosh Baruch Hu. So we don't exist. because there's nothing else which exists. He says, but you, we don't live the Torah on that level. Because on that level, there's no thing as Tumah, nothing as Tahara. Everything's Kadosh Baruch Hu. So the basic Yisei is the Kadosh Baruch Hu, the basic Yisei also. So you can say, you talk and learning in the basic Yisei. Because the Kadosh Baruch Hu is the basic Yisei. He's not basic Yisei. It's not precursors. Right? We don't live like that. The Torah says that there are gvulim, there are limits. There's places where he isn't, which means he's created a world of multiplicity, of differences. That's Baruch. So immediately after Hashem Akkad, you say, Baruch Shem Kumach Hazel Adam Vuhet. You recognize that we know Kadosh Baruch Hu is Echad, he's Kadosh, he's beyond our understanding, but we live in a world of Baruch. Because if we try to live in that world, that you get, you know, you get these people who were too imbibed in the world of Zohar and Kabbalah, etc., that they didn't keep the Torah anymore. Because from the vantage point of that, the mitzvahs don't make sense. So, a Kadosh Baruch Hu. So the primary element of Yudea is Kadosh Baruch Hu is Kadosh. He's beyond our understanding. He's Echad, he's Yachid, he's Meyuchad. He's totally different. Even got a song for it nowadays, right? All right. But Baruch, which means the presence is here. So the Rosh Chaim Taish is when we say Baruch to Hashem, what we're saying is that Baruch has made his presence imminent and available in this Bria. And he should do more of that. So here we have these elements of Malchus is mamash these elements. So you have the Yediyah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Echad, which means there's nothing else but HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He's the primary quintessential Melech, paradigmatic Melech, because there's nothing else other than him. So everything else, by definition, is subservient to him. But it's within a relationship with Klal Yisrael. It's not a Moshel. So it's Kadosh and Baruch. So we simply use this phrase in Aleinu to bring about these both points. Okay. We say Emes Malkeinu, Efe Zulosoi. So the Rambam says that the Rosh was referred to as Emes, Hashem Elokim Emes, Hashem Elokechem Emes. Right? We say Hashem Elokechem Emes in the davening because of the Pasuk, Yirmiyah, Hashem Elokim Emes. So what does that mean? Emes is a Rishaker. So Rambam says, beginning of Sari HaTorah, that there's no emes like Kadosh Baruch Hu. Kadosh Baruch Hu is true existence. So as much as the Rosh Hashanah is the true existence and everything else is just created by him, he's true in the sense, he's emes in the sense of he's real. Like you know, we talked about, you know, just be real. Like, you know, don't be fake, be real. We're all fake to some extent because we're figuring the Kadosh Baruch Hu's imagination. There's only one thing which is MS is a Kadosh Baruch Hu. So that's when we say Hashem Elokechem Emes. So Emes Malkeinu Efe Zulosoi Betzim are really, it's really two points, it's the same points. Famous line they say from Yedata Yom Hashem Esel Lovavecho, Yisrael Salanter said, that's from the distance from Yedat HaYom to Hashem Esel Lovavecho is the distance of from Shemaim to Eretz. We have ideas. We have plenty of ideas which we believe, we have no doubts about, we have no questions about them. We know them. We don't live with them. Yedat HaYom Hashem Esel Lovavecho. The goal is that there should be Yediyah which we can then be Meshav Alalei, which means we live with it constantly. That the Bershom is a Lekim Bashemayim Eretz, Bashemayim Eretz, which we talk about, Ein Oid. Okay, let's go back to the beginning of the paragraph. It's our Lenin Lashvechel Dama Kol. There's a famous story with the Goyen, that the Goyen one time said that it's, you know, that it's kedai to publish a whole sefer that there should be one vort in there which is truly emes. So he gave an example of a sefer. He didn't mean to say the vorts are the word emes. But he said this sefer mamash hit up shot which developed the going hell was mamash emes. He says, why do we start davening with the Adon Olam? Why is that the field which you start davening with? It's not Medina the Gemara. Adon Olam was composed by Rosh Hashanah Yibbe Gabir. It was composed by one of the poets in Spain in the 11th century. And that tefillah became the tefillah which is the beginning of davening. So why is that? So this person, the name of the was Magid Tzedek, Magid Tzedek, suggested a pshat, which the guardian felt was emes, lamito shel Torah. He says that you find, the Mishnah says that when they would go into the Beis Hamikdash in the morning, they first, before they did anything, they had to check to make sure that it was ready, was a Murash, Losh HaShachar, that they could start doing the avodas. So the Trumas HaDashin was the first step. Trumas HaDashin could be done by Laila, but after the next step was the Hakrabas of the Karban Tomid. So they couldn't do anything until, so they would send the person up into a high point to see if it was light. So he could get a view out there to see if it was light. So he would say, Barkoi, the Brak HaShachar, the first lights of light are coming out. They would ask him, Ad Chevroi? And he would say, Ad Chevroi. So Mor says, why do you say Ad Chevroi? Why does Mor say Ad Chevroi? Light is not totally Dafka Ad Chevroi. Because you want to be masked with the Zchus Ovis at the beginning of the Avodah Beis Hamikdash. The Ovis are buried in Chevroi, so you mention Chevroi that way at the beginning of the Avodah Beis Hamikdash. So this Magid Tzedek says that Chazal say that Avraham Avinu was the first person called Kadosh Baruch Hu Odin. The Medrash says that Avraham Avinu was the first person to recognize Kadosh Baruch Hu as the master of the world. So therefore, we start off the davening of the Dan Olam to be master of the Zchus Avos of Avraham Avinu, that he recognized Kadosh Baruch Hu as the Odin. The Gaon said that word was Emes Lamito Shel Torah. Okay, so as it were, the moment of going into Malchus, of introduction to Malchus, Elena Shechel Dan HaKol, the first step is that the Kabbashim is a Dan HaKol. So we have that he's a Melech, and that's a Dan HaKol. But there's also this element that Elena L'Shebeach, the Dan HaKol, which we're going to say that Kabbashim chose Klal Yisrael, that started with the Ramiru, who recognized Kadosh Baruch Hu was the Dan HaKol. Right, this is not much how it started. The Ramiru was able to recognize that the Kabbashim is the master, as opposed to what? He was the Yotzei Bereishis, which we have a curse of Torah for that, but he could be Yotzei Bereishis and then just leave the world on its own, which is what the Omos Arlam thought at that point in time, that there was this early law, they called him, this high God, which has created the world, but he was not interested in the world, he's beyond the world, he's too lofty to be busy with, you know, low lives like us, you know, we're not so significant to him. So there was a Yotzei Bereishis, and we have a curse of Torah for the Yotzei Bereishis. But we recognize that he's not just a Yotzei, but he's a master. It means there's an interface with him. He has expectations from us. We have responsibilities. He but that also means he cares. So the Dan HaKol is going to shift the whole view of the world. Avraham Avinu saw the Bereishis as the Adon, so it means he's interfacing with the world. So he cares. So now we have a caring being who created the world because he cares, not because he was in the mood of just one day making a world. And there's expectations. The expectations, the best way we can learn them is by being like him, and that's how the Avraham Avinu started his whole process of being a Avraham Avinu, was recognizing Adon HaKol. So it's an extraordinary shevach that the Bereishis is Adon HaKol, that we have this relationship with him, we're exactly to have a relationship with him. Now, different suggestions what these Shlach Sonak Gerard Soyes, Shlach Sonak Mishpach Sadoma, Shlach Sonak Kenna Kohem, Gerard Nika Kolam Enom. The Chayarim says that the Chaylik is referring to Eretz Yisrael, Gerard is referring to Elam Habo. So we have a Chaylik and a Gerard different than the rest of the Mazar Elam. We have a unique relationship with the Kodesh Baruch Hu and Elam Habo, and we have a special Chaylik here given to us in this world. Fine. I want to focus on Alken the Kabbalah a little bit. Okay, so we said Olenu Shabeach, we really thought about it, we absorbed it, we said it was Simcha, it's a unique, special relationship that the Rosh Hashanah has, the Rosh Hashanah cares, etc. If we absorb that, Alken, therefore, right? That's what a Kodesh Baruch Hu is, and that's our relationship with him, to the point that we feel a kind of simcha in that. We want the Kodesh Baruch Hu to be visible to the whole world, why just us? So we anticipate. We're mekaveh. There's a medrash, Parshas Vayechi, that it says hakol b'kivui, that everything comes through kivui, by awaiting and anticipating things happen. If you just, it'll happen, deal with it then. That doesn't bring these things to happen. But when you await them and anticipate them, then they happen. So we're mekaveh. Liras meher v'sivar tzedakah. So the Russian takes away the different types of the Avodah Zorah, that which is the Gilulim, which are detestable. Good translation, right? She says they're most kiglal, they're repulsive, like the manure of an animal. That's Gilulim. Elilim. So there's the Gilulim, which are they're repulsive. Then there's the Elilim. So, Gilulim are the gods which are repulsive. So the idea of a god is repulsive, number one. But then there's gods which intrinsically are repulsive. The way they express the idea of avoda and service is like strange. I'm saying that gently. But Elilim, Rashi says it means that we're stressing that they're al. Lashon of al means not. They don't exist. They're non-existent. There's gods which they're totally false. They're a true nothingness, which means they're not coming across in the sense of being a galo. But at the same time, we know and we understand that they're elilim. The second element, malchus shakai. So the article is nice of the translator to perfect the universe through the sovereignty of the Almighty. So what are we asking for? So this is a very important phrase, because any Reformed Jew will tell you about Tikkun Olam, right? It's all about it. They took it from Aleinu. They don't say Aleinu because it's very racist. But Tikkun Olam, that part they accept, right? So, what's this Tikkun Olam that we're anticipating? So, the tefillah continues. The Rishayim will come back to Hashem Baruch Hu. Everybody, all humanity, will call out Hashem Baruch Hu's name. Etc. So, the Tikkun Olam which you're referring to is not that the trees are going to be surviving, right? And not that every person can live his deviant behavior in a happy way, because we recognize everybody being happy. Right? That's the Tikkun Olam. Right? The Tikkun of the world is that the humanity is going to recognize the Kadosh Baruch Hu. So the Olam over here is not referring to the Tikkun Olam to perfect the universe. Right? Our goal isn't to make the stars happy. And the planet's happy. That's not the point. The point is that mankind, which is the purpose of the whole Bria, will come to its purpose. The result of that is that the world has a purpose. There's nothing happier than having a purpose. So the Tikkun Olam is that the world will accomplish its purpose. So now that the stars have accomplished their purpose, because when you look at the stars, you see a Kadosh Baruch Hu. The trees have accomplished their purpose. You see, Kadosh Baruch Hu's benevolence. So we will use the Bria as a vehicle to enhance the covenant of Kadosh Baruch Hu. Kadosh Baruch Hu is referred to as Kelah Kavod, and Shilsham quotes it, and that recognize that the whole purpose, everything was created for a covenant of Kadosh Baruch Hu. So that's a very funny phrase, because Shilsham. The Mishnah himself, and the Ramchal, says that the Russian was created the world to be made to man. So what's the purpose of the universe? We say perfection is that the universe will accomplish its purpose. So very clearly the purpose is that everybody should recognize the Kadosh Baruch Hu, the covenant of Kadosh Baruch Hu should be expressed. That's the purpose. And the Mishnah himself quotes that Chazal. But he also says that the Russian created the world to make them to man. He says at the beginning of the Sharm fairly explicitly, Derech Hashem says even more explicitly. So which one is it? So good Jewish answer? It's both, right? Right? There's two perspectives. Why the Russian create the world? Because he's hungry for covenant, he needs a little bit of covenant. So he created the world that the people should go say, you're great. Now he feels better. Obviously not. That wasn't when Hashem created the world. He didn't create the world for his kavod. He created the world because he was going to create a vehicle or something which he wanted to be made to. That's why the Russian created the world. What is that Hatzava and how do you get there now that that's the reason why the Russian created the world? When mankind recognizes the covenant of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they've gotten the best which they can get. Okay? So the covenant, from our vantage point, the purpose of the Bria is the covenant of Hashem. So what does covenant mean? So those of you who have been here for a while already heard me say this at least once. And, right? So covenant means to recognize the value. Covenant is not a negative thing. Rukhatsu said that covenant is, every person needs covenant every day. I have to know that I'm valuable. If I have to get it from you, I have a problem. That's what defense of covenant. I'm asking some other people to give me that value. I have to know intrinsically that I'm valuable, which I am. The person who created me, he's an infinite, purposeful being, and he created me means I value. Otherwise, he wouldn't have created me. So I don't need to get my covenant from you, but I need to know that I'm valuable. If I believe that I have nothing to offer the world, that I have no purpose, and I'm a total waste of space, so then the correct thing to do is to get off. Which is what people do, sadly. Right, but that's not true. So what does it mean vis-a-vis HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Covenant of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Covenant is the vehicle to recognize Hashem's presence. When I give covenant to someone, what I'm saying is, I recognize that you're a significant individual, and I'm recognizing that which is intrinsic to you through the various instruments and expressions of honor that I'm giving you. But the honor is not the point. The point is the recognition. The covenant of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the point is that we need to recognize that the purpose of Bria was to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Baruch Hu made a created world, and he created a very, 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 very elaborate hide and seek game. It's the best hide and seek game which ever existed. The Baruch Hu put himself there in the Bria, and he's not so obvious. And when you find him in the Bria, you've given him covenant. You've recognized the presence which is there. By you being the one who found the Kadosh Baruch Hu, and thereby being the creator and the master of the covenant of Kadosh Baruch Hu, that presence which exists is because of you. That's extraordinary chesed of Kadosh Baruch Hu, that I get to create a Kadosh Baruch Hu presence. That's what allows me to connect to him. That's what allows me to get the scar which the star is going to give me. So that's why the Russian set it up that way. But from my end, my goal is, if my goal is, listen, I want to get reward at the end. And the way I get it is by playing hide and seek. So you didn't play the hide and seek. Because you didn't give cover to Kadosh Baruch Hu, you gave cover to yourself. If my goal is a Kadosh Baruch Hu, then I will get. So it's one of these catch-22s, you know, right? That if you think about why you're doing it, and you're doing it because it's good for you, then it's not good for you. Didn't work. You didn't find them. You found yourself. So we stand after recognizing Kadosh Baruch Hu's presence and the Adon HaKol. We say we want that in the whole world. That's the greatest statement of selflessness. It's not about me. It's not about us. We're not racists. We're not keeping it for ourselves. Our whole desire is that it should be then expanded to the rest of the Bria. That's a true Eved. Then you've been an Eved. Then you've said, you know what? My real goal is my master. Now you can say the Psukim of Malchus.